CSN International presents To Every Man an Answer, the live apologetics program that equips you to give a reason for the hope that lies within you.
If you have a Bible question or a question on the Christian faith, you can call us at 1-888-827-5276. Again, that's 1-888-ASK-CSN.
Let's get things started. Here's today's host, Mike Kessler.
Hi, and welcome to Friday's edition of To Every Man an Answer. We get together every weekday afternoon at this time, answering questions about the Bible from the Bible, looking at current events, and also what we hear in church on Sunday. Is it even in the Bible at all? If you got a question you'd like to ask us, that number to call again, 888-ASK-CSN. And for the next hour and a half, that's what we do, is answer questions. A lot of times when you share your faith, read your Bible, somebody asks you a question or you yourself have a question, well, that's why we like to make ourselves available every weekday afternoon at this time. Now, I'd like to also invite you to church on Sunday morning. We get together here at the River Christian Fellowship at 10 o'clock Sunday morning here on the way to Shoshone Falls. Just follow the signs to Shoshone Falls, and you're going to come right to where the church is at. And we just want to encourage you to come and visit. I think you'll really enjoy it. If you're unable to attend in person, you can pick the service up at 10:30 Mountain Time here on the CSN radio stations and on the internet, of course, and all the other media outlets that are out there. You'll be able to find us there as well. We just want to encourage you as we go into the book of Genesis chapter 45 and looking at the great unveiling. Joseph finally shows to his brothers who he really is. Of course, he had all the Egyptian garb. He'd been speaking to them in Egyptian through a interpreter, a translator, then in turn would speak to them in Hebrew. And so they didn't know who he was. And he was playing with them a little bit, trying to get a confession out of them for what they did to him so many years ago. And so we finally find that they do. And now he's going to reveal himself to them. And we find how important it was that it wasn't just to provide food for the children of Israel, the descendants of Abraham, during this great famine, but it was also to move them down to Egypt so they wouldn't intermarry with the other races. Now, we remember Jacob's brother, and that would be Joseph's uncle, had married two Hittite women. They were already doing what they were prohibited from doing. They were already doing it. This was a real problem. So God moved them into a highly segregated country, the Egyptian land of the Egyptians, where they believed, the Egyptians believed, they were descendants of the gods, and everybody else was probably descendants of the dogs. But they wouldn't allow themselves to even eat together, let alone intermarry with one another. And so God moved the children of Israel, the descendants of Abraham, down into Egypt. And there they were for 400 years as they grew into the size of millions. But by that time, their race was well established. But see, God has a bigger plan. And that's what I want to encourage everybody listening today. God's got a bigger plan than just what you think it is. God's ways are not our ways. And so I just want to encourage you to do that. Joining me today, a special guest featured CSN speaker here on Sundays, 3 o'clock. We have with us Shannon Skolin from Voice of Truth. Hi, and welcome, Shannon.
Hey, thank you for having me on.
Always a blessing to be with you. Look forward to answering some questions with you. And what you talking about on Sunday?
Oh, this Sunday is going to be an interesting one. We talk about H.R. 5, which I'm sure everybody has heard of as the Equality Act, that has just been passed, the House of Representatives just passed, it's going to the Senate, in regards to equality, specifically in regards to the LGBTQ community. And I talk a lot, unfortunately, too much maybe, in this broadcast about the ramifications of what that means for our civil and religious liberties and our freedoms, or should I say lack thereof at that point, and how far we have fallen as a society to even allow this to potentially come to pass. And we discuss the Republicans who actually voted for it as well, and call them out on their conservative ways. So it'll be a very interesting, controversial broadcast this upcoming Sunday. So listen, and I'd enjoy everybody's feedback on it, see what they
have
to say.
Yeah, it's going to be a real interesting program. And again, this is one of the things that we played that video several times, and also the audio portion over the air, of the KGB agent that defected to America. And he said one of the things that really overwhelmed them in Russia was the demoralization of the United States so rapidly. They thought it would take much longer. Now, you say, what's demoralization? That's where right is wrong, wrong is right. There is no standard. There is no values. Truth is how you see it, not what is really truly established. These are all the problems. Demoralization, a man going into a woman's bathroom, a woman going into a man's bathroom. Pedophilia, which has now been legalized in part by Governor Newsom, where if there's less than a 10-year age difference between the perpetrator and the recipient, the child, it's not considered a crime. It's left up to the judge to decide. It's not really a crime anymore. So in other words, a 22-year-old pedophiliaite could molest a 12-year-old boy or girl. It's not a crime in California. And so if you, I guess I figure if you don't kill them in the womb in abortion, then really make sure they're messed up by the time they're adults. Yeah. And this is one of the great problems, demoralization. And of course, H.R. 5 is another one of these giant leaps of demoralization for our country. It's really tragic. Real quickly, Shannon, can you tell, I don't want to get into your program on Sunday, but can you kind of give us just a nutshell what this H.R. 5, they always word these as very palatable words, like equal opportunity or equalization or something. But in fact, when you really read what it is anything but that. It's full on perversion. And of course, generated by that great old Democratic platform that scrubbed God out of their conscience a few elections ago. Well, it's manifesting now in a whole new gruesome way.
It's the bill is actually talking about, oddly enough, how discrimination occurs towards the LGBTQ community specifically. It identifies who they are. It identifies them by their gender pronouns. And it talks about how they're horrifically segregated and persecuted. And therefore, this bill needs to be passed so they have the same equal opportunities as any other sect or any other minority. Specifically discussing things that I kind of think are erroneous, you know, that they're discriminated against in restaurants and senior stores and shelters and federal buildings and on transportation, which I don't think we see a very widespread treatment of them in that manner to the negative. As a matter of fact, I think that society has embraced it more positively, especially with what you see on the media. But it goes into that a little bit. It talks about proactive steps that they want to take to protect the LGBT community. And so it's quite misleading because as you continue through the bill, you see that that's not where it stops. The objective is to specifically segregate out LGBTQ orthodoxy, even crossing the religious boundary into the church. So essentially, if a homosexual or transgender or pansexual priest or preacher or teacher wants to be hired at your church, guess what, church? You no longer have the ability to say no. And so there's going to be things like that. But more ominous than that, in my opinion, is the fact that it completely removes the ability for us to protect our women and children, allowing biological males into female restrooms. There's nothing we can do about it. Allowing and forcing doctors, actually the word should be forcing them to do gender transition surgeries and things of that nature, despite what they believe, and, you know, mutilating girls and boys for life and causing infertility. And it's just, it's really sad. We get into it in detail, but it literally removes all of our religious and civil liberties and freedoms from us under the guise of we're doing good, we're saving, we care, we don't want discrimination against sexual orientation, gender, pregnancy. But it's more sinister, far more sinister than that, and really infringes upon you and my belief in what we can and cannot say, especially in regards to the community, even biblically from a biblical worldview. So it's going to be a very interesting program. Again, tune in Sunday at 3. You won't want to miss it, Mike.
So, yeah, you want to might want to consider that. Maybe contact your senator. Let them know to vote against it. This is not what it appears to be, everybody. It's far more sinister than that. Of course, they always are. And again, government, like cancer, it just grows and grows and kills. It just does your freedoms. Let's go to the phones. We have Tim on the line, Virginia. Hi, and welcome.
Hello, Mike and Shannon. Two quick things I want to mention. President Biden this week vowed to stop production of pellets and BBs for these AR rifles because too many people are getting killed. ARs don't use pellets and BBs.
Right.
I didn't know if that was you making the mistake or him. I should automatically default to him making that mistake because he doesn't know what he's saying most of the time.
Yeah, because Biden wants to outlaw all AR-14s. I heard him say it. They don't exist. They're AR-15s. Yeah. But no, I know this is one of the great concerns, again, that I think all of us as Americans really have to scrutinize. I personally believe this whole last election was completely bogus. We proved it here at CSN. We all know it was a bogus election. We have people that got 8 ballots, mail-in ballots in their mailbox when only 3 people lived there. We know several people that got 2 ballots, one at their parents' house, one at their current residence. We know people were not required to show their ID. He said, I could have went out and voted 100 times that day. We know that there's all kinds of, we proved it. Now, how big the corruption is, that's what we don't know yet. But it's funny that seems like all the courts that are supposed to stand up for what is right won't even bother to look at it. I believe there's overwhelming evidence that things were really, really wrong. Now, again, if you talk about this, you're a wild-eyed nut extremist, but we proved without a shadow of a doubt that the election was fraud. We don't know how big the fraud is, but we know cheating was going on. Absolutely, no doubt about it. Anybody that says, oh, there's no proof whatsoever, they are lying. They're lying. And I thought it was interesting. CBS had a guy on about 3 weeks ago on TV. They, you know, man on the street interview. There's not a shred of evidence. Well, I don't know where this loon came from, but there's more than a shred of evidence for corruption. We proved it here. We have names. We have numbers. We have all that stuff. And no, friends, how many murders do you got to commit to be a murderer? Just one. How many times you got to prove that cheating was going on to know you had a cheated election? Just once. We have numbers of it. And it's all documented. Hey, you know, how does a person end up with 8 mail-in ballots when only 3 people live in the house? I don't know. Things that make you go, Tim, we are very much aware of the issues. And of course, I believe that they're going to go after the Second Amendment however they can. These people have no value for your Bill of Rights. Zero. The Communist Party, which they are really what they are, have zero affection for the Bill of Rights. They don't have any concern for states' rights. They don't have any concerns for the Second Amendment. Freedom of speech, the right to worship, your right to keep and bear arms, innocent till proven guilty. None of those Bill of Rights. They hate them because they're not going by our Constitution and the Bill of Rights. They're going by the teachings of Karl Marx. Yeah, that's right, friends. That's the path they've gone down. And so, yeah, we're going to see, I think, a lot of very strange things from now on. Wrong is right. Right is wrong, and this is what they're doing. And again, this is one of the reasons why they want to tear down all of our statues of Abraham Lincoln and Thomas Jefferson and everything, because they're going to start over, just like the communists did when they renamed St. Petersburg Leningrad. But you know, the people there in Russia even know the communists are bogus, so they renamed Leningrad and they call it St. Petersburg again. But they were trying to undo everything in the past. And that's exactly what they're doing now. So don't be surprised if you see your presidents disappear off your coins, disappear off your paper money, and people that you've never heard of before now will be adorning your cash. Well, it's because, again, they have and hate the American heritage, the great heritage that America gave to the world. Communism takes away. It is the most filthy, nasty government that could ever govern people. Right now, the Christians in communist China under some of the worst persecution they've seen since Mao Zedong. Mao Zedong was a murdering thug. And no offense to murdering thugs. He murdered 50 million of his own countrymen. Joseph Stalin, another one, murdered between 20 and 30 million Russians. Fidel Castro, they estimate somewhere around 500,000 to a million people he executed in Cuba. So, no, these people are very, very bad. Of course, the American school system massaging communism that it's really wonderful. No, it's not. They're lying to you. There's nothing wonderful about that. To take from people who will work and give it to people who won't, all in the name of leveling the playing field, as Kamala Harris called it in her commercial right before the election. Whether you look at this Equality Act, which really isn't equality at all. It's to legalize perversion. That's right, friends. When you read the bill, you'll see what it means. Tim, I hope that helps.
Better note, Mike Lindell, the guy that made the MyPillow thing.
Yes.
Have you heard about his DVD?
Yes, and actually seen a part of it. He made a lot of people very upset with him on that channel.
Oh, yeah, they did. He made a lot of people upset, and he's going to continue to make people upset because he doesn't stay quiet for long. So he had undeniable proof of the election fraud, and now he's being sued by Dominion for God knows how much money. And they just keep coming at him left and right, backwards and forwards. And that's essentially what the enemy does, doesn't it? They come after us and they falsely accuse.
Which I think, by the way, for Dominion, I think that's going to turn to be a very bad mistake. Because in a lawsuit, he has now the right to go in with a deposition and literally shred Dominion, the company of Dominion that made these voting machines. And I think by bringing a lawsuit against Mike Lindell will ultimately show that these machines, in fact, did not function as they were supposed to, which then will make the last election fraud. So it's going to be a battle of the dollars on this one. But I think they've opened themselves up, the voting machines. I think they're going to open themselves up to what's called discovery. And once that discovery is proven that, in fact, what Mike Lindell is saying, the last election was 100% fraud, all these bills, the HR5 and all these, out the door they go. So really, I think that Dominion doing this, I think, I think they've opened themselves up to a real, real bucket of worms on this one. So we'll wait and see, Tim.
Got the proof here that we've been needing.
Yep. Yeah. And I think that.
Well, I think we had the proof all along, to be honest with you. People just didn't want to see it. I think this just encapsulated it really nice and pretty from someone who had a platform, and they're still coming after him. So.
Yeah. But now, see, now he's able to actually go after the source of what he believes is the corruption with these machines. And if it's right, if it's proved that what he's saying is true, our last election is 100% fraud. So we'll wait and see how this one comes out. It's going to be interesting to see. Hope that helps, Tim.
This all along.
Yep. Stay online. We'll send you out a couple of books, a couple of DVDs. It's kind of one of these wait-and-see ones. We're going to have to watch and see. Let's go to Lori in Wenatchee, Washington. Hi, welcome.
Hi.
Hi, how may we help?
I was wondering about the Pfizer vaccine. I've been trying to educate my family about COVID, but they don't want to hear it. And my sister-in-law told me that she heard on Focus on the Family that the Pfizer vaccine does not contain, you know, alternating DNA or baby parts.
Well, we have a problem with any vaccine right now, and here's why. The COVID-19 virus is morphing. It is changing. It is adapting. And we already know there's COVID-19 tier 4 that was in England, which is 62% more aggressive than the current COVID-19 is. You also have the African version of COVID now that is morphed, and it is completely immune to all vaccines. So there's going to be some real problems here, because you're going to have to be going down and getting a new vaccine for COVID every few months as this disease continues to morph, because it was a man-made disease made by the Communist Party, by China, to kill old and sick people, which follows in their philosophy of the communism, which, if you're no longer a producer, you're a worthless mouth to feed, and therefore they invented a great disease to kill elderly and to kill the sick and those with other medical problems as well, as we're now finding. And so I believe that this thing is going to continue to morph until the Lord comes back. The head of Moderna said that he believed that COVID will be with us forever now. And he's the one of his company said they're the ones that make the vaccine because it morphs. Your thoughts?
Well, Lori, I don't know if you follow, I'm kind of laughing because it's funny. I don't know if you follow me on social media or not, or Voice of Truth, but I've done a couple videos in regards to the COVID-19 vaccination, injection, because it's really not even a vaccination. And given ample proof in 2 hours of segmenting of the MRC5 and other aborted fetal tissue antigens and pathogens that are actually in the vaccines, including the Pfizer vaccine, I went into detail and length with vaccine inserts from the actual vaccine companies, Moderna, Pfizer, AstraZeneca, and all of the others, Johnson & Johnson, and then provided a PDF file of vaccine ingredients in general that you can go down and look and see the ingredients of. So if you refer your sister to the website or Voice of Truth on Facebook, and you can look at all the posts, I think starting from December 14th or December 5th on, there's a slew of information there, and there's two specific videos there that she can watch and listen to. I actually ended up in one of those videos addressing Focus on the Family with their response to the vaccine in a very godly and gentle way. Their video on the vaccine came after I did my first initial video on the vaccine, and they had these two specialists that came on and said, essentially, the vaccine is safe and take it, and it's not going to alter your DNA, and, you know, it has no baby parts in it, and, you know, we're encouraging people to take this vaccine. Now, I take up issue with that, because even if the vaccine was safe, yeah, you know, be the devil's advocate, even if it was safe, I take up issue the fact that it is proven that it does have aborted fetal tissue in it. And so any Christian organization that would promote anything with aborted fetal tissue, once you know about it, in it, is problematic for me. It's an issue for me. I take up issue with that. The fact that they went through such length to defend the vaccine was also concerning for me. So there was, you know, hundreds of people, thousands of people who watched that program with Jim Daly and those two professionals who ended up messaging me. I had so many messages in my inbox, I almost could not get to them all. It took me so long because there were certain things that they pointed out directly after a video that I had done. So I went back and did another video and provided even more documentation with what is in the vaccines themselves. So yes, when you listen to people with platforms, it can be confusing, especially a Christian platform, because you think that you can trust what is being said and what is happening. And I'm not saying that Focus on the Family intentionally misled people. Maybe they didn't know. Maybe these, quote, specialists weren't well-versed in the ingredients in the packing list. There's a lot of doctors who don't know what's in their, what they're giving their patients as far as the ingredients in them. They just know that they work. So I'm not going to sit here and say that it was a sinister or, you know, directly diabolical thing that was taking place, but it was my job to make sure that there was proof continually that is provided for the listeners. And so I did that. So that might be able to help her. But the Focus on the Family broadcast, indeed what they said, not all of it was true. So, we even invite them on to talk about that and go over the ingredients in the vaccines themselves. But maybe that would help her a little bit. There's a lot of information on our Facebook page. And I think even to Every Man and Answer's Facebook page, we cross-promoted that information there that you would be able to share with her so she can see.
So I hope that helps.
That helps. Thank you very much.
The other great problem that we have, of course, with any vaccine like this, I talked to a friend of mine yesterday. His wife is knows a lot of people in the medical field. And there was two women who received the vaccination, and they both miscarried 3 days later. Now, again, they don't know what the long-term effect of this is. So I don't think there's anything. You know, I watched the thing, I think it was CBS or whatever. It's part of QAnon or whatever it is. Oh, you're just a radical extremist if you don't want to have the vaccination. Baloney. Baloney. This is not time-tested, period. I don't know how anybody, any news organization could come along and say, oh, there's something wrong with you because you won't take the vaccination, that we have no idea what the long-term effects are going to be. Does it cause liver cancer in 2 years? What does it cause? They don't know. They just don't know. So, Lori, yeah, it's pretty scary stuff when you really stop to think about it. And I want to see it time-tested. Lot longer for me. Hope that helps. Coming up on a break, everyone. Lori, stay in line. We'll send you out a couple books, couple of DVDs, and we'll be right back right after this.
A tower is a place of high ground, a point of security where a guard sees the enemy advancing and alerts the troops. As CSN, our towers send out the message of the gospel, educating and preparing you for the advances of the enemy. You can be a tower keeper and help keep CSN on the air. A monthly donation of any amount can make this possible. Give us a call at 800-357-4226 or go online to csnradio.com for more instructions.
We want CSN to be a radio station where you feel welcome. No matter where you've been, no matter what's happened in your life, no matter where you go to church, and even if you don't, this is your station. Please make yourself at home because you're welcome here. And we hope that CSN will be a blessing to you and your family, and that you'll tell a friend.
You're listening to CSN International, the Christian Satellite Network. We broadcast on hundreds of stations nationwide, including many stations in great cities in Georgia. You can listen in Athens, Savannah, Danielsville, Buford, and many more. Get a full station list or listen anywhere in the world live at csnradio.com. CSN International, where God's word is heard.
You are the king. CSN International. Bringing you exciting new music from around the world. So whether it's youth praise and worship, or the latest congregational songs, you'll find it on CSN International.
And we want to welcome you back to part two of To Every Man and Answer here on this Friday afternoon. And once again, we're going to go right back to the phones. We have with us Douglas on the line in Buffalo, Oklahoma. Hi, welcome.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, we can, Douglas. How may we help?
Well, I have a question today. The question is, concerning the Sea of Galilee, during the time that Jesus had his ministry in Israel, okay, was the Sea of Galilee in, like, the Northern Kingdom or Samaria? Where was it located in Israel?
Well, it was part of, right adjacent to it, because we remember when Jesus cast out the pigs, cast out the demons, and they went into the pigs. There's only one place on the entire Sea of Galilee where that could have happened, and it's the north part. I've been there. I've been right there where that happened. And really, they shouldn't have been raising pigs anyway, because that was still under Israel's jurisdiction. And so by drowning the pigs, it was, really ending a business that they shouldn't have been doing anyway. Now, very possibly, those that were doing that may have been selling them to the Gentiles, and that might be a part of it too. But again, is that exactly ethical? So, but it was all the Roman governance. It was all part of the Roman territories, but from what we can tell, the area of the Galilee, and I believe it was Herod had one of his places there as well on the Sea of Galilee that he really enjoyed. But I believe that jurisdiction was all part of that was entrusted to Herod. So, Jen, any more thoughts?
Sorry about that. The southern kingdom of Judah did not have the Sea of Galilee in it, as Mike said. It was part of the northern kingdom. And in the back of your Bible, actually, most Bibles have really cool maps that outline that. You can see where the Sea of Galilee is and where it's located in proximity to Jerusalem. And so we need to remember that as far as our identifying marker. So as far as geographically, depending on the time you're talking about specifically, it was part of the northern kingdom. So hopefully that helps.
Yes, thank you. That does help. Thank you.
Well, God bless you. Thanks so much for the call. And stay on the line if you like Douglas and you had a couple of books, a couple of DVDs. Great for evangelism, and also show your church, show your Sunday school classes. Great for those kinds of things. Let's go to, where are we going to?
Leslie.
We're going to Leslie.
My
Las
hometown.
Vegas. Yes, hi and welcome.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Hi, how may we help?
I'm actually a question and then a plead to the people listening. My question is, with the Equality Act, I've already contacted my senators. I've sent emails. I've harassed them to the point where when I called today, they said, oh yeah, Leslie, we know who you are.
Yeah.
I keep sending them stuff. But I'm not going to let up on this. My question is, in reading that Equality Act, it clearly violates the Constitution in so many ways.
Yes.
How can they pass a law that violates the Constitution, and why do we have to honor it if it violates the Constitution? That's my question.
Because the Constitution doesn't mean anything to these people. They do what they want to do. The Second Amendment is very clear, and they keep debating, is the Second Amendment constitutional? Well, it's been constitutional for 230 years. It was constitutional when they wrote the Constitution. So what in the world are they talking about? This is one of the great problems. So they bend the laws according to what they want, and this is a dangerous thing. And Shannon, your thoughts?
Yeah, they don't care.
They don't care.
They never cared. They never will care. So it really boils down to, Leslie, us standing up for what we believe in and calling our senators and our congresspeople and making a ruckus illegally, obviously, not burning down buildings and rioting in the streets, but to peacefully protest and to call and make our voices heard. You know, no change can happen unless we make a stand. And we obviously didn't make a good enough stand in some ways, depending on how you look at it in the Senate and the Congress and how progressive people have become and what we voted for as a people. Nonetheless, it doesn't mean that our voices are silenced. We need to remember the government works for us. We don't work for them. So at the end of the day, if we don't like something that's happening, we need to make our voices heard, and we need to stand up, and we need to write, email, call, harass in a non-threatening way the phone lines of our congresspeople and our senators, and in this case, our senators, and really tell them that we're not okay with what's happening for our civil and religious liberties and our rights to be infringed upon. This doesn't just implicate that it's like equal opportunity employment kind of thing, which is what they're trying to hide it under. Oh, it's just the same as equal opportunity employment. You can't.
No, it's not.
It's not. It has nothing to do with that. It puts our women in danger. It puts children in danger. It mutilates and destroys children and causes them to be permanently sterile and infertile. It loosens all possibility of conscious medical decisions to be made from a practitioner in regards to the health of these individuals. It completely eradicates biology. It literally is a lie. It's a fabricated lie from the pit of hell that is being perpetuated and that is trying to be passed. So we have to stand up. So everybody listening, if you don't like it and you're not for it and you don't promote it, then you should do something about it. And send a letter and make a phone call. You know, I had a person tell me the other day that they just didn't have time. They were just so busy. How could they have time? Well, you have to use the restroom. And I hate to say it this way, but I know you're on Facebook and Instagram and checking your messages while you're in your restroom, and you might as well make a phone call. What's it matter? You're there anyway. Or when you're waiting at the DMV, or you're waiting to pick up your kid from school, or you're waiting at soccer practice for little Johnny, you can make a phone call. You don't have to use an excuse that you just don't have time, because if you make excuses, you really just don't care. So we want to encourage people to let their voices be heard and to never stop letting their voices be heard, because we can do something about it, and we will. And if they do pass it, it will be very difficult, because we will have to fight against that. We will have to stand up and say, no, we're not going to have a transgender or homosexual pastor at our church. As a parent, I'm not going to allow a female to go into the male's restroom, or male to go into the female restroom and put my child in danger. What they don't understand, or maybe they do, is that it's going to cause a lot of other violence and issues to ensue, because we're just not okay with it. And when they force things upon us like this, people act crazy to defend their young ones. And the next step from this, everybody, is pedophilia, as Mike talked about earlier, legalizing and saying that that's okay and that's just a sexual orientation.
They already have.
They have in California, but it'll get a little bit more diabolical and sinister as time goes on. So you just have to speak up and stand up for what's right. You don't have to cave to the laws and the ways of the land when they specifically go against the word of God. I think we had a lot of people in the Bible who showed us how to handle that kind of thing. Especially Daniel. So hopefully that helps.
Leslie, I hope that does help, and I hope that sheds a little bit more light on it for everyone to realize that, boy, Joe Biden didn't waste any time to start turning the tables of what's right is wrong and what wrong is right. Because they believe this H.R. 5 is actually a good thing. No, it's a terrible thing. But you see, when you're messed up, you're messed up. Leslie, stay on the line. Send you out a couple books, couple of DVDs, okay?
Can I make one more comment?
Sure.
What I'd like to say is I thought the same way. Well, I don't have time, but I would like to ask everyone who can hear my voice. It's a phone call. If you go to the website that is Intercessors for America, on that website, they actually have the letters written for you. You just click submit. It will put in the names of your senators and send the letter. And I sent that letter 3 or 4 times already to them, each of them. I'm asking everyone. The Lord expects us to stand up for his nation, and we are being complacent. We can no longer sit around and expect somebody else to do it. It is our job as Christians to stand for the law of God. There is a clause in that act that allows doctors to give treatments to children as young as 3 years old if they say they want to be a boy or they want to be a girl.
Oh, I know.
Those doctors take the rights away from the parents and treat those babies and give them what is required to cause them to have...
That should prove, Leslie, how demonic this is to everybody, that a three-year-old... You don't want to be a cat. At 3-year-old, you want to be a dinosaur you saw on TV. So what, are they going to change him into a dinosaur too? I mean, it's just insane.
Yeah, this shows the simple insanity of
the left.
Left. It's what it is.
It's demonic.
Every foul, wicked thing, as they repackage it to make it look palatable to the American people, let me tell you something, friends. There's something demonically deep with this. This is not H.R. 5. It's not normal. It's not normal. You don't have men following little girls into a woman's bathroom. And any senator that thinks this is normal behavior, they're not only fit not to be a senator, they really shouldn't have a job at all. Because they're loons. And I say that, again, not wishing to offend any loon. These people are out to lunch. If you think what this bill will actually do and allow men to follow little girls into bathrooms, because I feel like a woman today, so I'm going to follow this little girl into the bathroom and we can just do whatever we want to do in there. Hey, let me tell you something, friends. H.R. 5.
Or as a believer.
What is wrong? I don't know what's wrong. And believe, this is what's bad. It already passed the House.
I know.
So you have a whole group of loons in the House already. And they think this is normal behavior. Boyfriends, I'll tell you how far we have fallen. Leslie, stay in line. Send you out a couple books, couple of DVDs. Before you go, give us that website one more time where people can go, click on the letter, and send it to their senator. Now, again, it's already passed the House. So we want to stop it in the Senate. But the Senate now is controlled by the Democrats. Again, this party from who knows where.
I hate to say it, it's probably going to pass the Senate unless we stand up and do something about it.
Yeah, so...
So you better stand up.
Stand up while you can. And real quick, give us that web address one more time, Leslie, where people, everyday people, can go to make their voice heard.
It's Intercessors for America.
Intercessors for America.
For America.
I imagine that's all little letters, no caps, and Intercessors for America.
And I think if you type in www.ifa.com, I think it will come up. But it's always better to make sure that you're just typing it in, Intercessors for America, and it's right there when it comes up.
All right. Leslie,
thank you, Leslie,
so very much. We'll try to get that site up on our Facebook, To Every Man an Answer. People know where they can go on that. And thank you. Stay in line. We'll get you out a couple of books, a couple of DVDs that'll help. And with that, we'll go to Dedry in Salmon, I believe it is Virginia. Hi, welcome.
Hi, you guys.
Hi.
I'm going to take the breath like Shannon does. And this is such a God thing. First, thank you, Mike, for setting all your warriors in place. And Victor Marx nailed it when he called you a woman warrior for God. You got a lot of us following you, girls.
So God gets glory.
At a woman awards, keep at it.
Thank you.
This is a God thing, because I was going to talk about the Blackbee thing, and if you let me, I will, but this is more important. This is essential, and people do not get it. Focus on the family. They hijacked it from James Dobson.
Yes, they did.
They sure did. And his is family talk. And focus on the family. With that bull crap that you just said, that does not surprise me. Because that is not James Dobson's family anymore. They ran them off, you know?
No, so I actually mentioned James Dobson in my my broadcast this Sunday and giving him, you know, accolades and props for standing up for many things. He's a wonderful man of God. So it is sad what happened.
And he's here on CSN.
Mm-hmm.
He's here on CSN 7:30 to 8 Mountain Time. And so we're glad that James Dobson is part of the team here.
Yeah, and his camp is family talk.
Yes.
Not focused on the family.
Right.
Okay. That being said, you had a, I just caught the tail end of it. Here's another wrong that needs to be righted, and thank you for the platform to do it. They were talking about Blackbee, and I don't know which book, But I'm here to tell you that Henry and Richard Blackbe made a devotional. It's called Day by Day Experiencing God. It is so off the charts. It's unreal. It's a multi-million dollar, you know, seller. And that's because it is just filled daily with the ones. And on January 5th, when I picked it up way back in 2000, it has a whole thing, and it does every day. It had a thing that relationship versus ritual. And it went all into, you know, a relationship with God. That's why he said, "And I never knew you." There's a difference. Religion is just that. But anyhow, you could Google up their whole family history. But anyhow, Henry, and this is so essential, his favorite passage was Isaiah 59:21, that people could look into that, you know? So the caller was going on about, you know, mysticism, and Jeff was on target on that kind of religion these days, you know? And I liken it to Charles Stanley was awesome. His son is so off the chart, Andy Stanley. You know, he's one saying, "Oh, well, we are going to have a new religion, and we're not going to include the Old Testament because, oh, we just can't stand that truth."
Well, you know? the problem is, and that's not just from I don't know, I didn't hear him say it, but I know a lot of churches have said that. And it's funny, Jesus said, "We live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." And he was referring to the Old Testament. So somebody that would say, "Our church, we're a New Testament church, we don't even teach out of the Old Testament," they're not even a biblical church, and should be rejected. Because again, the book of Jude in the New Testament tells us that these things happened, the Old Testament, for our examples. So it's always wise to learn from other people's mistakes. You can't live long enough to make them all yourself. Shannon, your thoughts?
No, and, you know, Blackaby does have some pretty good devotionals and workbooks that I think people can really glean from, especially diving into the Old Testament. But you don't want to ever discount the Old Covenant versus the New Covenant, which is, I think, more appropriate terminology now. But people do. And like Mike said, they just write it off, and then they consider themselves a biblical church. Or, on the other hand, there's sects of Christians that like to only follow the Old Testament and the laws. And they gleam a little bit from the New Testament, but they follow the laws, and they pray to the East, and they do the whole thing in the rituals. And we got to be careful about that, too, because it does become ritual and religion over relationship when we start diving into things that way. So, but no, Isaiah 59:21, great verse, wonderful verse. Everyone just needs to be in their Bible, period, Old Testament and New Testament, Mike.
Amen. So I hope that helps.
It's that day-by-day one.
Yes.
It's stellar.
Yeah.
And kudos, because us Christian warriors, thanks to you, Mike, and your platform and your whole CSN of having biblical teaching for years, Mike Lindell, they're going to get caught. They're going to get nailed on that one.
I think they did a dumb thing. I don't know who advised him on this, but basically by doing this and what he accused them of, it's going to open every aspect. They're going to be able to deposition people that don't work there anymore. They're going to ask them how secure the machines were. Could they be compromised? They're going to be able to talk to literally hundreds and hundreds of people. And it just takes one to rat them out. And when they do, the whole election, the last election, will all fall apart. And it may not, you know, you never know how God will ultimately see this through. But if it's what Mike Lindell says, and according to his video, by them going after him, they've opened themselves up to the stratosphere. I don't know who advised them, but
hey. They're just trying to sink him financially. It's a tactic.
But it can go the other way.
Yeah.
It can go the other way. And not only that, but the whole election will be in question then. So, this is one way to get the last election into court, and it evidently is going to go that way. And even if they back off and say, well, we decide we're not going to sue you, he can counter-sue them now and take it to the rug. So we'll see, Deidre, what's going to happen. Stay in line. We'll send you out a couple of books, a couple of DVDs I think you'll enjoy. With that, we'll go to Kurt, Nevada. Hi, welcome.
Hi, how you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
How may we help?
My question is, in Revelation 6:8, it talks about, let's see here real quick. It says, to kill with the sword, with the hunger, with death, and by the beasts of the earth. Now, what is your take on the beasts?
Well, if you go to the original Greek there, it means any living thing, like a organism. That can be that. So it could be the COVID virus. It's not necessarily speaking as of lions and tigers and bears, oh my. It can be talking about any living thing. And when you look at biological warfare, that's the beasts of the earth, I'll tell you. Now, they're, in fact, what was it? Louis Pasteur, when he first looked at bacteria under a microscope, he said, oh, look at the wee little beasties. That's what he called them, the wee little beasties. Well, that is what they are, and that's what that means. Hope that helps.
It does. I appreciate you. Thank you so much.
God bless you. And again, it just means any living organism. And so whether big or small, but I don't think all of a sudden tigers are going to go crazy and cats are going to go wild. I think it's talking about, I think it's absolutely talking about biological warfare bacteria getting out of hand. And so hope that helps. Stay online if you like, Kurt. Send you out a couple of books, a couple of DVDs. With that, we'll go to Deborah in California. Hi, welcome. Deborah, are you there?
Oh, hey. Yeah.
Hi.
I have a question about the vaccine. I had the first dose under advice of my pulmonary specialist, and I didn't know there was aborted baby tissue in that stuff, and I feel like, yuck, throwing up.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm supposed to get the second shot, and I don't want to do it, and I don't know what to do. So,
well, dear, we're not doctors. We can't advise you what to do and what not to do. All I can tell you is what I would do. And, of course, I have not seen the numbers of proof of satisfaction without repercussions concerning this virus. I've heard a lot of really bad things about it. That's why I would choose myself personally not to do it. Now, where you got the first one and, should I get the second one? I don't know what the repercussions of that are. Like I say, I'm not a doctor. I couldn't prescribe that, nor can Shannon. But Shannon, I'm sure you've come across people that maybe have remorse getting the second one.
Yeah, and Deborah, God's not going to hold you accountable for what you don't know. He's not up there, like people want to believe, with a magnifying glass frying ants, like this mean God that's, going to condemn you for something. You didn't know, and so I wouldn't dwell on that too much, and don't live under any condemnation or feel guilt from that. But now that you do know, what I always suggest to people, because like Mike said, we can't give medical advice, is just to pray and seek the Lord and ask him to guide you in what decision he wants you to do. He will answer. You petition and you seek him, and you seek him without ceasing. He's going to tell you what to do, and you'll have a peace that surpasses all understanding when you do that. I know that your initial reaction is going to say, you don't want to go get it done. You don't want to go get the second one. And I wouldn't blame you for not wanting to get the second one. And, like Mike said, I can't tell you what to do. I wouldn't get the first one. But at the end of the day, now that you've made this decision, God will get you out of it now that you know. So just pray. And I would just pray and fast if you needed to, but he will answer and he'll tell you what to do. But it is hard. And I understand that once you find things out, it's concerning. And when you've made a medical decision that now you feel you need to follow through with, it can be maybe even more concerning. So again, you also need to realize that some of the vaccines that will be coming out do not have aborted fetal tissue in them, but those are not out yet. So for instance, I know the Johnson & Johnson one for sure will not have aborted fetal tissue in that vaccine, but I don't know what else it will have that might also be concerning. So don't be dismayed. Don't be sad. Don't get despondent. Don't let the enemy wear you down and beat you up because you did something. Pray and seek God. He's going to give you peace and whatever he wants you to do that's good for you, for your body and for your family. Hopefully that helps, Deborah.
Hope it does.
And thank you. It does. And
you might ask, you know, you might ask your doctor what happens if you don't get the second dose.
There is no efficacy.
Yeah, I don't know what the result of that is. But again, like I've told anyone, I don't care whether it's the COVID vaccine or something else. If it hasn't been tested for a number of years, again,
you're a human guinea pig.
They're using the American populace as the guinea pig on this. They do not absolutely know what's going to happen to all of us that get the vaccine 2 years, 5 years, 10 years from now. And believe me, down through the history of time of vaccines and medicines, that one that was issued to women in the 50s that caused terrible birth defects, they never tested it. This is why, you know, you don't, everybody says don't buy a new car the first year they make the motor or the new body style, because that's when the problems are.
I've made that mistake.
You know, well, here I go again. Hey, stay on the line. Deborah will get you a couple of books, a couple of DVDs.
Have you always wanted to finish your degree, but you could never afford it or find the time? Well, here's some great news. Calvary Chapel University is offering students and ministry leaders a $12,000 scholarship. With this unique scholarship, you have a realistic way to graduate debt-free. Calvary Chapel University is the most affordable, fully accredited Christian online university in the United States, and it's 100% online, so you can study wherever and whenever you want. Calvary Chapel University offers bachelor's and master's degrees in biblical counseling, Christian education, and several other fields. And with solid teachers like Skip Heitzig and David Guzik involved, you can be sure you're getting a quality education. This scholarship is available for a limited time, so apply now. Find out more at calvarychapeluniversity.com. That's calvarychapeluniversity.com. Apply today.
If you'd like to partner with CSN by helping us cover our cost of operation to broadcast God's Word nationally and across the world, please consider making a donation. All donations are tax deductible, and now CSN is offering a simple automatic monthly subscription. Pick an amount as low as $10 and subscribe. Every month your donation will automatically happen, and subscriptions can be canceled at any time. Log online to csnradio.com, click the donate button on the homepage, pick an amount, and then click subscribe. Together, we can continue to spread the gospel.
If you enjoy listening to CSN on your radio, then log online to csnradio.com. See a side of CSN you might have been missing. You can listen anywhere in the world with an internet connection. Find program schedules and contact information for your favorite teachers. You can listen to archived episodes of To Every Man an Answer, leave a praise report, and print off the network's complete station list. This and much more is available at csnradio.com.
CSN International, where God's Word is heard. We broadcast on almost 400 stations nationwide, including multiple stations in Idaho. You can listen in great cities like Twin Falls, Boise, Cascade, Ketchum, and many more great cities throughout Idaho. Get a full station list or listen anywhere in the world at csnradio.com. CSN, the Christian Satellite Network.
This is KAWZ Twin Falls, the Christian Satellite Network.
And we want to welcome you back to part three of To Every Man an Answer here on this Friday afternoon. And once again, I'd like to invite you to church here at the River Christian Fellowship on Sunday morning. We get together and actually study the Bible. I know that's a novel concept, but it's actually true. We will go through an entire chapter of the Bible. It'll make sense and it will be relevant. That's right, because God's Word, written by the Holy Spirit, is relevant for our world today. We're going through the book of Genesis, chapter 45, where Joseph reveals to his brothers who he is. And we're going to be looking at that. And so we want to just invite you to come. Starts at 10 o'clock here in person, 10:30 on the radio at 10:30 Mountain Time on the CSN radio stations and also on the internet around the world. And so we want to invite you to come and you'll actually learn God's word and why it's important. You know, again, when we look, and it's interesting that it's a picture type of Christ, that the Bible says they will look upon him who they have pierced when Jesus comes back in the second coming. And I believe this is the great unveiling for the Jewish nation as well. Those that are still alive will see him as he is. It is really amazing to me that so many times people in this life have a concept of God that isn't true. They have a concept of what is right that isn't true. And when we read the Bible, that clarifies all that, because we come into God's standards, not into human standards. What may be acceptable for men is not acceptable to God. I tell everyone everywhere, read Romans chapter 1. That's how God's going to judge the world someday. And so, unfortunately, we think that God is just a big glorified man and, hey, you know, he doesn't care about stuff. Well, he does care about everything. And so Romans chapter 1 will help you a lot. We're going to go back to the phones. We have Susan on the line in Chandler, North Carolina.
Yes, hi there. I've got a question out of Mark chapter 13, verse 32, where it says, no one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. And in my footnotes, it says, when Jesus said that, even he did not know the time of the end because he was affirming his humanity. And of course, the God the Father knows the time, and Jesus and the Father are one. But when Jesus became a man, he voluntarily gave up his unlimited use of his divine attributes. So my question is, if he gave up his divine attributes when he became a man, would he not have gotten them back after he died and rose from the dead? And then presumably, while he's in heaven now, he would know the time of the end?
Oh, absolutely. I believe Jesus knows. But you got to remember, Jesus looked at Mary in the garden after she put a bear hug on him. I think Mary was so glad to see Jesus back alive that she put a bear hug on him and she wasn't going to let him go. And Jesus said, Mary, don't cling to me. I've not, you know, don't squeeze the stuffings out of me. I've not yet ascended to my Father. That's what he said. I believe when Jesus ascended to his Father, he regained his full godliness, you might say, as it was when he was transformed before Peter, James, and John on the Mount of Transfiguration. When Jesus came back to life and he was on the Sea of Galilee and everything like that, when he was walking along the road and joined the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, he wasn't glowing in bright white, fuller, they say, brighter than anything they'd ever seen. He wasn't in his glorified state then. And when he resurrected from the dead, he wasn't in his full glorified state. He was in a living being again, but he wasn't in that Mount of Transfiguration brilliance that I believe Jesus has right now that he got when he ascended to his Father in heaven. And we know that this is where he's at. Remember when Stephen was stoned to death, he saw Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. And I believe that was in his full radiant brilliance of who Jesus Christ is. Your thoughts?
I agree with that. And there's no powerful name other than the name of Jesus. And so we need to remember that his name is above all names. And so that there alone in the New Testament would tell us that, I agree with Mike, that he regained his full, you said the full godliness. I think he, in my opinion, always had that godliness. But when he did ascend, he rejoined with his father. And that was then, I think, everything was made aware to him at that point. So I would agree. Hopefully that helps.
Hopefully that helps.
Thank you. I'm in agreement with it. I appreciate it.
Yeah, you want to look at all the verses that pertain to Jesus Christ. And he said to Peter, James, and John, actually, he said to the disciples in the previous chapter, some of you standing here will not die till you see the Son of Man coming in literally his full glory. Well, then the next chapter, he took them up to the mountain. There he was transfigured before them, and his garments, he himself shone like not even a fuller can get, a bleacher can get stuff that white, that brilliant. So that is what I believe Jesus was talking about. But again, when he resurrected from the dead, he wasn't glowing in the dark. He did have a glorified body. He could go through walls. He could vanish out of the two disciples' sight. But, you know, they would have certainly recognized Jesus. Oh, yeah, he's the glowing one. No, he looked just like a human being to them until he vanished out of their sight. And then they realized, the Bible says, who he was. And they didn't even spend the night where they were at. They just got back and went back to Jerusalem. So looking at all the verses, again, this is where in the book of Isaiah talks about line upon line, but this is where the Bible talks about precept upon precept. You look at all the verses that pertain to who Jesus was, his glorified body, his condition before he died on the cross, his condition after he died on the cross, and then eventually what his condition, his body, all those things will be in heaven. Now, there's another interesting verse as well, though, that Jesus evidently takes out some type of a different form. Because in Revelation chapter 4 and 5, we find this heavenly scene where a strong angel holds up what I believe to be the title deed of the earth and says, who is able to take the scroll and loosen the seals thereof? And John says, I began to weep bitterly because there was no one that could do that. And then John says, then someone stepped out like a lamb that had been slain. I thought that was interesting, the description that John gives Jesus there as a lamb that had been slain. Now, it doesn't say that he wasn't glowing. It doesn't say, but it may very well be possible that even in his glorified state, he will still have the marks in his hands, in his feet, at the moment of death when he redeemed all of mankind and redeemed the earth. So, Susan, stay online. We'll send you out a couple books, couple of DVDs. I think you'll really enjoy, okay?
Thanks so much. Appreciate you all.
God bless you. Have a blessed, safe weekend. With that, we'll go to Joan, South Dakota. Hi, welcome.
Hey, Mike and Shannon. I was listening to a broadcast the other night, and I tuned in on the radio. It wasn't CSN who I normally listen to, but I thought I heard Raul Reese say that God doesn't care about non-believers, that he only cares about believers. And so it forced me to, you know, dig into the scripture, because that kind of took me aback. And then so I did read a lot of scriptures that say, you know, God doesn't hear sinners, from John 9:30. Mm-hmm. And 2 Corinthians 6 talks about don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers.
Yep.
Deuteronomy 17 talks about stoning the man or woman who has done an evil thing. And John 3:18 talks about being condemned if you don't believe. And, you know, on and on you can find scriptures, you know, in Revelation talking about the unbelieving, the murderers, the sexually immoral, blah, 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 are not, you know, going to inherit heaven. And there are a lot of scriptures that do talk about, you know, God really expects us to be, you know, pretty good people. And so then, of course, I find the great scriptures that talk about, you know, the parable of the 99 and the one.
Yes.
You know, God speaks out that one. I think it's believers. Is he talking, when he's talking about the 99, is he talking about believers or non-believers? Well, I'm going to go on with my long question.
People that need no repentance are the 99, and the one that wandered off, got caught in the thicket, Jesus brings him back. Now, there's an element of truth in both. And again, this is getting back to the precept upon precept. that does God care about sinners? Well, we have John 3:16, for God so loved the world. What is the world made up of? Sinners. That whosoever includes sinners, would believe in him, but not perish, but have everlasting life. So we do in fact know that God does care about sinners. However, when we use the word care, that's where the issue is, because there is different levels of care that we understand in the Bible. The Bible tells us that God regards his bride, the church, much differently than he regards the world. Now, again, God's going to bring and take the church, the rapture, his church home, regardless of what sinners think, because they're going to go through a tremendous judgment the Bible talks about for 7 years. So we do know that God does care. Now, does God hear the prayer of sinners? I do believe he hears one prayer. And just as Jesus gave the illustration, God be merciful to me, a sinner. That's the prayer that I believe God will hear, and that prayer and that cry out for salvation. Because until we become born again, we are not his children. And I think that's extremely important. Oh, well, you know, we're all like, you know, totally cool. You know, we're all God's children. No, we're not. In fact, the Bible is very clear about the children of the devil. So we do know that there are two groups of people here on this earth, believers and non-believers. Well, maybe there's a third, make-believers. But we know that there's these groups of people here on this earth. And the thing is, those that have embraced Christ, yes, God cares about them in that we cry, Abba, Father. We are his children. But remember, any person outside of the family of God can become his child by simply calling out to him. And it isn't that God doesn't love sinners. The Bible says that he does. For God so loved the world. John 3:16. But here's what we have to remember. Not everybody loves God. And that's where the big difference is. And I believe this is why we have to logically look at what it says. So does God care about sinners? Yes. Does he care about sinners the way he cares about his bride, those that are Christians, those that belong to him? Absolutely not. But any person that is not a Christian can become one of his own, in which God will devote his whole resources in heaven to. Your thoughts?
I agree completely. I actually have nothing more to add to that.
Hope that helps.
That's really good. I just want to thank you. I kind of answered my own question in remembering what a sinner I was. And back in 1995, there was a believing Christian that kept at me because I was, you know, misled by many of the Catholics' views. And I never read the Bible. I just let the church interpret everything for me. And he kept at me, and he pointed me to CSN back in 1995 in South Dakota. And I just want to thank you all for being such a huge part of that and helping me spiritually grow. And I love how you guys are bringing out the political situation in all of these discussions, because I think most often churches stay away from that. And I love that you continue to preach sin. But at the same time, look how clear you made it to me. You know, I had this moment of confusion. And I really, really appreciate you. And I just hope that God continues to bless you. And thank you for being a light in the darkness.
Well, Joan, thank you. And may God get the glory. And, you know, real quickly to tell you, you know, I've been doing To Every Man an Answer for over 25 years. You know, answered a lot of questions with everybody from Chuck Smith clear up to, Shannon today. You know, I mean, there's a whole group of people that we've been able to minister to over the years. And it's really important to be able to continue on sharing that light with people. I understand what it's like. I was raised in a church myself that believed the ministry, miracle gifts of the Holy Spirit ceased with the apostles. There were no more miracles. There were no more gifts of healing, tongues, words of knowledge, all that kind of stuff. And the more I read the Bible on my own, not being pablum fed from the church, but rather reading it on my own, I came across Hebrews 13:8. My mom had that plaque hanging on her bedroom door, on the bedroom wall, inside a room. And every time I go through the door, I would see that. And it said, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And it's at Hebrews 13:8. And I always thought about that. And that's one of those verses that you know, every time you go walk through the house, you see that hanging on the wall there. And when this church we were attending said, there's no more miracle gifts, there's no more Holy Spirit. Yes, the Holy Spirit will convict you of your sins, but that's as far as it goes. And then I read Jesus Christ is the same yesterday. I go, you know, something not lining up here. What these guys are saying and what the Holy Spirit and what the Bible's saying is two different things. Well, as I began to really research it, I found out something amazing. The gifts of the Spirit did not start in Acts chapter 2 with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. They're all the way through the Bible. From Genesis to Revelation, all the way through the Bible, you find God's miracles. So why would they stop or cease at the last chapter of the book of Acts? Well, they misquote a verse. It says, that which is perfect is come, that which is in part will be done away with. Well, that which is perfect has come is not talking about the Bible. It's talking about Jesus Christ. Because when we have Jesus in front of us, we're not going to need any of the gifts anymore. He is the gift. But until that day comes, miracles have been all the way through the Bible. And you know, I think that's great comfort to me, knowing that they didn't start in Acts chapter 2. The only thing that changed in Acts chapter 2 were before in the Old Testament, it was for an Elijah, an Elisha, and a Moses, and a Jeremiah. Acts chapter 2 made it available for anybody that was called by the name of Christ. Wow, that's pretty neat. That's all the thing that changed. But no, the Holy Spirit's alive and well on this earth and doing miracles just like he did in the old days. Somebody asked one time, well, why don't we see more miracles? Well, most people, personally, I think don't live close enough to the edge to need a miracle. You know, when you go up and you're in a store and the Lord has you and you look across there and you see somebody sitting on a chair with their face in their hands and the Lord like says, go up and pray for that person. Well, I don't want to go up there and pray for that person. They might not like me. Well, if they do, they'll just say, go away. But you know, I've done that many times and I just walk up and I say, can I pray for you? And they look up at me and they said, please, I wish somebody would. And then all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit comes upon you and all of a sudden gives you supernatural insight into this individual's life. And you begin to share with them their life. And they go, how do you know about my life like this? It's the miracle, the power of the Holy Spirit, the word of knowledge. And God's got different gifts for every one of us that are called by his name and to live in those gifts. Joan, stay online. We'll send you out a couple of books, a couple of DVDs. And again, letting God be God in our lives. We still serve a miracle working God. Stay in line. We'll get you taken care of. With that, we will go to Kathy in Arizona. Hi and welcome.
Hello.
Hi.
I was listening earlier to the woman that called in about the Equality Act and that if we went to Intercessions for America, there's like a blank letter we could fill out and it goes right to our congresspeople.
Yes.
I went on that website and I wasn't able to find the letter. And the reason I'm calling is if she could just call back and give us exact instructions on where to go, because then I would call my pastor and he could send out an email to all of our church people, because I think this is very important. But you know, when you're dealing with some people that don't know how to use their computer or whatever, if we knew exactly what we had to do, where we had to go once we got to that website, because there was like 7 or 8 choices you could pick. And I didn't know where
Shannon,
this
do you have
was.
Any information on that?
Actually, I'm looking at the website now and I do see what you're talking about. It seems a little different because you can actually pick on a senator or congressperson. You can pray for them. So hopefully she'll call back and we can figure it out maybe more in depth for people to make it easier, because it's a praying website more than anything else. But we will look and we'll see. And maybe there's another outlet for people to be able to find it all in one place. Nonetheless, you can still call. your senators yourselves by Googling their information, which is also a really, really good idea if you don't want to just send them a form letter. So we want to still encourage people, if you can't go to the website or it's too difficult to maybe navigate, still just pick up the phone, Google the phone number, give them a call, leave them a message on their machine, and I think we'll still be able to get the exact same thing done. So hopefully that helps.
Hope that helps.
Yes, we can do that. Yes. Thank you very much.
God bless you.
And thanks so much for the call, Kathy. And if you like, stay alive. Send you out a couple of books, a couple of DVDs. Let's go to Claire, Norfolk, Nebraska. Hi, welcome.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Yeah, I was listening last Sunday to Shannon, and I didn't hear the whole program, but she brought up Hillsong and Elevation Worship. And I was just wondering if there was issue with them or with their church or something.
Shannon, your thoughts.
So I brought up with Jack Hibbs, we were specifically talking about things in the church that have become secularized or spiritualized, churches that maybe had fallen away and included in their sermons or in their worship things that would be called supernatural and spiritualistic from a New Age standpoint. And we had discussed in detail, as well as Mike and I discussed on this topic a week or two ago, about worship songs made by churches that dive into Christian spiritualism. And how do we handle that as Bible-believing churches when these churches or their worship groups get maybe a royalty from their music? And is there a problem with us potentially leading them to that church or our congregation or people or believers to that church when we know it's there's certain levels of maybe demonic or sinister activity that they've enveloped in the way that they do things? And so the topic of conversation specifically with Jack Hibbs was, there were songs at his congregation where he was raising his hands and weeping and crying and just so overcome with the Spirit. The song was Anointed. And someone from his congregation had come up and said, hey, do you know that song was from Elevation Worship? And then there was one from Hillsong. And this is what's going on in their church, which was spiritualistic things, New Age things going on in the church, that they do Christian tarot and stuff like that and other things. And he said, I had no idea. And we had talked basically back and forth about, you know, Mike Kessler and I had this exact question and conversation on To Every Man an Answer. What do you do in those circumstances? What do you do in that situation? Because a song might be really anointed and you don't necessarily want to throw the baby out with the bathwater, but you also don't want to lead people to a congregation that they might follow or like or think that they're testimony or their ministering is correct when we know that there's other things going on behind the scenes. His comment specifically was, you know what? I made a choice in my congregation to redeem the music. And his choice was, regardless of what the church was doing, he had conversations with his congregation about that, but the songs were anointed. And as believers, he wasn't going to allow the devil to take away such a beautiful anointed song from worshiping our Creator. And so he called it redeeming the music. And that was the stance that he took on that. And Mike and I had similar back and forth conversations about, yeah, we can do that, or I don't know about this. But you know what? There are churches out there that dive into spiritualistic things. And, you know, when we have conversations as church leaders in regards to these things, our heart is to not lead people astray. And sometimes the water gets really muddy for us. And so we go back and forth and discuss our options. But ultimately, I think communication is the key, Mike.
Amen. And I think that you've got to just basically do what the Lord leads you to do. I know there are many good organizations that started out good, and now they're wacky. And do you want to throw everything out that they ever did? So I think there's a real issue there that you got to be careful of, because I do know some of the songs that that I've heard from Hillsongs are good. They worship the Lord, all those kinds of things. I think the person that wrote those songs really loved the Lord. They believed that they were licensing their songs with a reputable organization. But we found that many times, many organizations, they may start off very good, but by the end of their, you look at a lot of denominational churches in America. They started off, they were some of the most evangelical churches in the world. Now they're ordaining homosexual ministers and nobody even comes anymore because they don't teach the Bible any longer. All these things. So does that mean they never did anything any good? Oh, I can't say that. I know many hospitals that were built by some of these denominations and ministered and continue to minister to so many people. But that doesn't mean everything about their organization today is right. So I think we have to be very careful. I think we have to be observant and
communicate with our congregations.
And just communicate with people. I think that's one of the best things. Claire, I hope that helps.
Yeah, it really does, because I do listen and to their music, and you know, a lot of it really is anointed, you know.
Oh man, when I'm driving Claire and I'm listening to Do It Again by Elevation Worship, there's hardly a time I don't cry. So I mean, it's just again what the Holy Spirit leads you to do.
So, Claire, stay online. We'll send you out a couple books, a couple of DVDs, and Richard, Barbara, Joan, and Steve, I wish we could have got to you today. Call us on Monday. We'll get to your phone call right. We'll put you right in, right at first, guaranteed to be on. We'll hold your place. And I pray you have a safe weekend. Thanks, Shannon, for being on.
Thank you for having me.
Look forward to being back with all of you. Hope to see you here on Church on City. Be sure to catch it here on CSN 1030 Mountain Time. God bless you, and have a safe weekend.
To find out more.